Welcome to Animateez, a retro anime review comedy podcast. Join our resident anime nerd Mackenzie and anime noob Lindsay as they delve into their VHS vault and review the best and worst of what the 80s and 90s had to offer. These episodes contain spoilers and adult language, so stick around if you're cool like that.
Welcome back, our incredibly kawaii friends. And yes, even you, the person that just thought that they weren't the cutest little weeb around. I am the first half of Animateez, Mackenzie, joined by my more fiery second half, Lindsay.
Ooh.
Doesn't that usually happen at the end of the podcast?
Well, we're doing it at the beginning because you said kawaii. Perfect. I don't know.
It's all good. That's fair. So I got a question for you, Lindsay.
I'm ready.
Do you like cute cat girls and boys?
Oh my gosh, so much.
What about cute fairies or devils or maybe even cute dog boys like Inuyasha?
Oh my gosh, give it to me now.
There is one half-human hybrid that teenage me thought was the most kawaii thing around for quite a while.
Okay.
And that was a character named Mink.
Ooh, how Minksy.
Mink is a teenage girl living in a fantasy world that has a little bit of modern technology who is obsessed with a pop star.
Okay.
She also happens to be the daughter of a once famous swordsman named Rosh the Red Lightning.
Ooh, what a sexy name.
And a red dragon named Mana.
Ooh.
Which makes the title of this week's series make a whole lot more sense because this week we'll be watching the incredibly funny and all over the place fantasy comedy known as Dragon Half.
Ooh. So which half is dragon? The top half or the bottom half?
You'll have to wait and see.
Okay.
Known for its slapstick comedy and quick change animation between normal and chibi style, I figured we would do a silly, fun, lighthearted adventure about a girl who's trying to find a potion so she can become fully human so that it's easier for her to date someone.
Oh, girl, I get it. In the morning, I always have dragon breath.
It's true, folks.
How dare you?
You said it first. We will be watching the entire series.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which, due to the unfortunate poor reception of the anime, is actually only two 20-minute OVAs.
Oh, okay. It's a sweet little baby series.
But don't let that deter you. It is still a silly, fun little romp that 14-year-old me loved. And which I'm pretty sure after you see the character, you'll understand why.
I'm like, big titty goth girl?
No, not exactly. So.
What do you mean, not exactly? What do you mean?
With that being said, it's time to sprout some wings and go watch some Dragon Half. And we'll be right back after this sweet interlude and some adorable chibi comedy. And we're back from watching the incredibly silly and chibified anime Dragon Half. And I have to ask, Lindsay, was this series a drag and a half, or did it set your heart on fire?
Oh my gosh. No, the show was excellent. I loved it so much. So, excellent choice.
Ooh, I think that's the Ooh. Most positive reaction I've gotten out of something I've given to you right off the bat.
I'm like, straight it was short, it was adorable, it was campy, it was like just, it was cheeky without being pervy, like, it was excellent. Like, there, I don't really have any complaints about it. I mean, maybe if we're going through my notes, I might have something, but I can't think off the top of my head of something that I was like, I wish this didn't exist in it.
I normally, and I talk about this all the time, where I'm like, oh, I hate stupid, pointless, goofy sound effects, or like too many pointless out of nowhere gags, but for some reason with Dragon Half,
they're just integrated so beautifully. I think this is definitely one that you can watch it coming in and with like the lens of someone in 2024 and it's still enjoyable.
It's clear it didn't get a big budget.
Yes. What?
But it almost doesn't matter here.
No, it didn't need it.
More budget would have been nice, of course.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on the visuals, the designs of the characters, the whole sometimes chibi and like the full thick thigh chibi and sometimes the straight up starfish chibi art style that they swap between in this whole series?
I mean, I think it was really cute. I loved it. And I think because they used it as a storytelling device, it works really well. It wasn't just like a once or twice, which would have felt like out of place. It integrated really well with the storytelling.
Yeah, some series you get a most serious show ever, and then there's like 1 3-second like chibi gag, and you're like, what's the fucking point of that?
Where did this come from? Why are you here? Go away.
But in this, you'll have 1 10-second scene with 3 different art styles, and for some reason, they just work.
Oh, absolutely. It is a fun little feast for your eyes.
My favorite, because remember, I love the starfish style, where it's just very pointy, all limbs out. But the thick thigh chibi style is probably my favorite. Fucking adorable.
Oh, it's so cute.
All of the characters in the series are adorable and hilarious. Mm-hmm. You know, we can talk with the other ones as they come up, but I want to get your thoughts on our main girl, Mink, and her
Mink?
Fun half-dragon flirty ways.
I loved her hair. I thought she was really cool and really badass. I don't know if this will stay in or if you're going to edit it out, but with her tail placement, it felt like it was a butt plug.
You are not wrong. Her wings are fully retractable, but her tail is always typically out there.
Yeah.
And you're not wrong. You're speaking truth, okay? It's okay to speak the truth.
But yeah, like, I think I just would have placed the tail differently. But other than that, I really liked Mink. And I thought, like, it was really cute. Like, even, like, she had cute little underboob in her bra. And, like, yeah, no, I loved it.
Sorry, I'm still laughing at butt plug.
That's what it looks like. Oh, as I say, like, you know when you're walking around Expo and there's that one person with a foxtail?
And you don't see the string tying it to their belt?
Yeah. That's what it looked like.
Like, that tail's a little too low.
You're like, anyways.
But, like, you mentioned she's a badass, and she is, but she's also like just a teenage girl.
And she's really like she has those moments of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's very sweet.
She is such a sweetheart. And like, she is a little daft.
I mean, a little bit.
But not in a way where it's made to make her seem stupid, per se.
No, and it's not like insulting, or she isn't objectified or made seem less because of it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
she's
no,
still
that
a
makes
fully
sense.
Developed character, and she still has, you know, all these different layers to her, but she's just being a little daft is one of those layers.
We all have our moments.
It's like blissful ignorance.
Yeah. Sometimes things just go right over our heads, and that's okay.
Absolutely.
You'd mentioned like the underboob and the outfit designs, and the show is technically classified as fan servicey.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, it's not done in like a way that just seems
like it doesn't seem like it's objectifying. It's just being cheeky.
There's a couple moments I'm sure we'll mention where it almost crosses the line, but overall, the whole vibe of this was just so damn good.
And it was just the right length too. Like it didn't feel like any part lagged or could have been cut. Like it all just flowed really well. And then we'll talk about some, you know, plot devices they use to kind of speed things up. And
you'd think that a show that's just gag after gag after gag might get old really fast, but none of the gags were repeated. None of the gags went on too long. You're so right.
I was like, basically our review is watch this show because it's amazing.
Did you hear that sound?
Oh my gosh. Oh no. Is it more trivia?
Do you know what that means?
Oh no. Is it more trivia?
It's been 25 episodes since I last did this silly gag, but it's time for Dragon Half Trivia.
Oh my gosh. I'm so ready. I'm ready, Alec.
When I first did this, I thought I'm going to do it every episode and then forgot for 25 episodes.
Hey, it happens to the best of us.
All right, Lindsay.
All right, Mackenzie.
Quick bit of trivia here for you. Mink's Japanese voice is adorable, but did you know her voice actor and much of the rest of the cast is actually quite famous?
Ooh.
She has voiced dozens and dozens of incredibly popular characters.
Go on.
But out of all 25 episodes that we've done for the podcast, which main female character has she voiced?
Oh gosh. Mink. Just kidding.
Well, other than Mink.
Ha ha! I win! Oh gosh, I'm trying to think back to like any. I'm like, what episodes have we done? Cat's Eye or Dirty? Was she in Dirty Pair?
No, but the Yusa was, or whatever her friend's name is.
Neighborhood Stories?
Incorrect.
Tobey Maguire. We're doing a throwback.
I will give you a hint.
Okay.
It is an incredibly popular anime Dragon in Ball. Both Japan and North America.
Let me just go to my Spotify to look at all of the things. Oh gosh, Sailor Moon?
Ding, ding, ding. You finally got there.
Who's she, Sailor Moon?
She is Sailor Moon.
Oh, she... Go me.
She's Sailor Moon and Sailor Mini Moon.
Aww.
For the entire series from the 90s up until the like 2021 movie.
She got that gig and she was riding it out. She was like Kevin Conroy.
Oh yeah. She's in a lot of stuff.
Amazing.
And actually, Dick Saucer, really quick here, is like a bonus bit of trivia here, which we'll get to the name Dick Saucer.
We're gonna get to that name.
Dick Saucer's Japanese voice actor also voices Bob in the Japanese version of Reboot.
What? Amazing.
This cast is not one of those things where it's like, oh, they were popular for the 90s and that's it. No, all of these voice actors are like massive resumes that span from the 80s into 2024.
They're like Nancy Cartwright.
They are rolling hard in it.
Hell yeah.
So congrats. Lindsay, your prize is now mm-hmm. getting to talk about the opening and closing songs.
Excellent. I loved them. I listened to the ending credits every time I had to.
I was going
to
say, the intro one is just like a quick little fantasy like yeah, short title like, card.
But the ending, oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
It's so funny. Amazing. Stay for the ending credits song because it's like a whole other story.
It literally, like, it's very silly.
I love it.
But for this series, it's so perfect. I fucking love it. And maybe it's just the way the lyrics are sung, but the lyrics are also just adorable if you like read them as they're happening. At one point, she's like, no, you can't have my tomato. I like tomato. Here, have this squid. I don't like the way it looks. And it's just like, it's so good. But I don't know why it randomly breaks down into a section of Ode to Joy in the middle.
Yep. Just like, and she has like the choir book out. I love it.
And that's actually another thing, though. The animation, this is actually tied to the song, too. A lot of times it's usually like just like a slideshow of characters in their underwear. But this one's like she's kind of like animated along to the music.
Yep.
Oh,
it's like a mini music video.
And it has that like Ranma, like rapapa, rapapa kind of part. And it's so good. I have it on my phone right now for one of my ringtones just because
hell yeah.
I really like this song. It's just so damn cute.
Mm-hmm. I was like, I think my ringtone is still Blink-182 matched up with September by Earth, Air, Wind, Fire. It's incredible.
My main ringtone is the Gundam theme. My WhatsApp is Bulbasaur's saying Bulbasaur. And my ooh. Facebook Messenger is you saying uwu, which gets me a lot of weird looks when I'm in public. I was at the grocery store checking out the other day, about to tap my phone to pay. And as right as I went to go do it.
As you were like paying, the money comes out and then your phone just goes.
And the dude, the like 60-year-old man at the other end just looks at me.
Oh, man, I love it. I love it so much.
I was like, Vex, can I take my receipt now?
Please let me just go.
And I could change it, but I'm not gonna.
No. Why would you change it when it's perfection?
One last thing before we get into the breakdown of what you watched.
Mm-hmm.
I really have one issue with a lot of these older series we watch that aren't super popular.
Okay.
And it's that it's incredibly hard to get merch for them.
Yes.
I want a little chibi, like the one I've got from Urusei Yatsura. I want like a little chibi mink figure, the one that we both mm-hmm. have, or just mm-hmm. something little cute like that, but it doesn't exist.
Nope.
This is a manga that had 7 volumes and got a 2-episode series, so there's not a lot going on out there.
Nope. But, I can make you a sticker. That's what I can get. That's what I can do for you.
Perfect.
Great.
Give me a sticker. But love all right, it. Let's jump into your Dragon Half series
ooh,
breakdown.
Just swan dive right into this. Well, we open with this like mysterious, wonderful music video for someone who has the most phallic name. Dick the Killer, aka Dick Saucer.
I fucking love it. It's so stupid. It's so stupid.
Ladies and gentlemen, Richard Fallis. Welcome to the stage, One Eye Johnson. Like, it's just, it's a Monty Python sketch.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Or, as her father calls him, Mr. Sausage.
Dick Sausage, which I was like, it's not making it any better, but I love it. Oh, it's so good. And we find out that this is our lead character, Minx, like, Justin Bieber, her, you know, absolute favorite idol. And she's watching him on the television when her parents come in and start, like, bah, 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 interrupt her watching her programs. And that they start bickering and stuff.
They're not just interrupting it. We are introduced to her parents by her father fighting her mother.
And calling her a bitch.
Which she stabs him for.
Yeah, fully stabs him in the arm with a sword. It was excellent.
But she, like, is a red dragon. Okay, here's the weird thing. They're basically role-playing in front of their kid. Because then she quickly turns back into, like, her human form.
Yeah.
And this is not a note that I'm proud of making.
Hit me with it.
I wrote, her dad saw that Dragussy and said, I'm going to put a ring on that.
How dare you? Wow, you made up that word.
I'm the one that made up Dragussy.
It's true. I've seen some toys.
Anyways, moving along.
Yep. Anyways, so now we're at a castle. We meet our king. King, what is it? Siva?
I don't know. I just called him King.
I did too. I actually originally called him the Emperor, and then I realized, oh, he's the king. But he's, like, plotting, because he apparently, like, Ruth the dad, which I was like, wow, his name's Ruth. It's like a boy named Sue.
Well, Ruth the dad, aka the Red Lightning, okay? You know.
My apologies. Instead of Blue Thunder. Yeah, Ruth used to be this, as you said in the first part of this episode, he was, like, a master swordsman who was sent to slay the Red Dragon and disobeyed orders and fell in love, and now he got all up in that Dragussy, as you said. So this king's like, well, I want him dead, and I want to marry the Red Dragon, which is also still, yeah, he wants that Dragussy.
Yeah, he sent him to kill this lady, and then it turns out, or this dragon, it turns out the dragon can turn into, like, a human form, and now the king's like, oh.
I've changed my mind.
Hold the front fucking door for one goddamn second.
I would like to stab it with my pork sword.
Ugh.
You said Dragussy.
Pork sword, for some reason, feels worse.
Wants to put his pork sword in her pink pocket? Okay, we're gonna get banned. But anyways, I just loved... So the king gets mad at the guy who he's trying to get to take care of Ruth, and he drops Yi King's anger of super crushing press on him?
He's spitting facts. He's like, you know, even if you kill her husband, why would she just magically want to marry you now? And he's like, fuck you, bud, and just crushes him to death.
I'll pay you to think. I loved it. I thought it was really funny. It was very reminiscent of, like, the foot from Monty Python. I loved it.
Yes.
So from there, we get this new guy coming in, and he's all in these dark robes. There's, like, fog everywhere. And he's like, yes, I will do this for you. And the king's like, all right, good. So he goes to leave, and he picks up his bucket of dry ice that he brought with him for effect and leaves the room.
It's so fucking funny.
I love the camp. It's so good. Like, so, yeah.
They didn't have to. They could have just had some smoke and that be it. But they were like, nah, it's dry ice, motherfucker.
It was hilarious. I laughed so hard at the reveal. Oh, this show's this movie is hilarious. The bits are just bidding so well.
Hell yeah.
Oh. Yeah, so we go back to the village, and Mink and her friends are finding... They got the new Dick Saucer album called Barn Up Okay.
I don't know if that's just, like, a weird translation or what, but...
Yeah, but it's a name. Yeah, and then they find out that there is a concert in 10 days, and they're like, oh, I would love to go to that, but I don't know if we can. And, you know, Mink's walking around, and, oh, look, there's a ticket for the Dick Saucer... I almost said Dick Sausage. Dick Saucer concert on the ground, and she's like, gotta go pick it up. And we see, like, Rosario behind a bush with a, like, it's attached to a stick. And Mink goes to pick it up. And then she goes, oh, but it's probably for a girl. And I don't want to take it from her because she would be so excited to go see him and I don't want to take that away from her. Which is the sweetest thing ever.
Oh, man, it's so cute. She's so kind-hearted. Mm-hmm. The world needs more kindness at the level of Mink.
And if that doesn't work, shoot him in the neck with poison darts 3 times. Which is what happens. And he brings her unconscious body back to the king and is like, I have slain this thing for you. And they're like, did you kill her? No one can survive 3 poison darts. But she wakes up and they call her a zombie. And then they try giving her an apple, but she's like, no, I don't want to. I know what this Snow White strategy is. I'm not doing that.
It's just a weird call out, but like, right. I love it.
I know, right? I was like, stranger danger. She knows what she's doing.
Also, the king was more concerned that he couldn't use her as bait anymore than her actually being dead.
Absolutely. Doesn't
give a shit.
Well, because, yeah, afterwards he starts dropping the super crushing press on her and she just punches right through it.
She's strong as shit. Like,
she's so strong.
She is. She's half dragon. I don't know what the king thought. Like,
come on. Well, yeah. And she's mad. So she starts blowing fire. And so to save his butt, the king's like, here's a ticket. Blah, blah, blah. And she, like, she flies away and goes to get it stamped. And the ticket person is like, this is a fake ticket.
Yeah, you're not seeing BTS tonight. Sorry.
There would be a riot. But we gotta meet a new character in this scene. We gotta meet Miss Vina.
Princess Vina.
Ooh, she's a babe. Her design is excellent.
So cool. She's a capital biatch.
Oh, absolutely.
But she's so cool.
Well, and it's funny because Mink like calls the dad or calls the king some sort of squashed face frog looking thing, and Vina's like, no one should call my father that. I'm a black warlock. I'm gonna just take you out, I guess.
She really said, no one can make fun of my idiot ugly father except me. Now prepare to die.
Yeah, it was great. So they have a little spat, which is so fun, and Vina just like blasts her through a wall,
which only is allowed to happen because she distracts her by tickling her.
Right? but she like blasts her through this wall and like, oh, who could be on the other side of this wall but Dick Saucer?
Who she happens to land lips first on.
That's hilarious. Oh, and so Vina tells her that Dick Saucer is a famous dragon killer and she would have no interest in a girl with horns. And a tail. Heartbroken, Mink runs away.
First off, though, Princess Vina is spewing some mad hate for someone who's also half human.
Yeah, but that's not revealed yet.
No, but still, as someone who, as we both have both seen both episodes now, know, she's like, hey, you gross hybrid monster that no one will love. And it's like, I felt so bad for her because she's so upset by this.
I know.
She's like, You're disgusting. And I'm like, damn, girl, fuck you.
So we're back at the castle and Rosario fails to maintain Mink on the premise that they can use her as a hostage. So we meet this new character, Damaramu.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. First off, excellent name. Love it. But what?
So he's special.
Yeah, he definitely is something. And so he just like jumps onto a dragon and flies away, but then comes back because he's like, sorry, I actually don't know what she looks like. Can you just give me some details about who I'm looking for? Okay, thank you, bye. Oh, it was so good. But yes, now that he has it, he flies away. And back in the village, Mink is kikiing with her friends about her kiss with Dick. Her dick kiss.
I love her friends. They're all just so adorable. Cute. So cute. Man, she'd be better off with Lufa than Dick Saucer.
Right? Oh my gosh. Still that name. Every time you say it, I'm just like. But yeah. And she's like so self-conscious of herself because she's not human. And so she could never be with him. And she's so sad about it. I'm like, no, girl, you be happy in who you are and you will find a guy who appreciates you. You don't need that shit.
You're damn beautiful. Right.
You're amazing. But her friends tell her about a potion that made a slime into a person. So now they're going to go find it.
Well, you're missing a very awkward moment.
Tell me which moment I'm missing.
When Lufa wants to live vicariously through her by kissing her to get a secondhand kiss.
Oh, yes, I do remember that.
And she's like, kind of starts crawling atop of her. And this is when her dad walks in and goes, "Ooh, I want in on the action."
So creepy.
Why the fuck is her dad trying to get in on what he thinks is about to be some teenage lesbian action?
100%.
Thankfully, her mom is there to beat his ass.
As she should.
And like he drag him it. Out of the room. But like, I have absolutely no fucking clue what her mother sees in her father. Like, he must be packing a hefty sword, if you know what I mean.
Oh, he must have his own dick sausage.
his red lightning.
Oh, no.
Sorry, that makes me think of... Anyways.
A red rocket?
Yeah.
Anyways,
so her friends tell her about this potion.
Yeah, so they're like, okay, well, let's go find it.
It'll make you human.
Exactly. But we get the backstory of the people potion. It was like this slime who wanted to be a person. And so it finds this special potion that turns her into a potion or into a person. And she marries the king. So from here, we learn that Vina is half slime. Dun, dun, dun.
And I love that. That's like, he like comes to meet his new daughter and the nurse is like, "Oh, it looks just like you." And then he like turns it to him and it's a slime.
Yeah, it's literally a slime.
Because he's just so melty looking.
Well, and we learned that, you know, because Vina is a black sorcerer, she uses her black magic to turn from her slime form into her person form.
And she only has to do this because her father hates her unless she looks human.
I know, Mitch. Like, come on, women, you just be who you are.
And like,
don't let men dictate what you should look like.
What I find interesting about the whole like potion story is that this is a severe case of self-hate being projected onto others.
Yeah, like, 100%.
She's also half human, but to make herself feel better about it, she criticizes other half humans to make herself feel superior. And you'd think she wouldn't hate Mink and would emphasize with her more like, "Oh, my father hated me until he became a human, and now he's trying to hate you because you're not human. Like, we actually should be buddies."
Mm-hmm.
And she fucking doesn't.
Nope. And I'm like, how dare you? Okay, so can we talk about Mappy, the magical hamster guardian that one of Mink's friends brings?
Look, did you expect what Mappy ended up being?
No.
What happens when Mappy's angry, Lindsay?
Just gets into a massive hamster.
Like, huge.
Oh, it's so good.
Like, the size of, like, a large bear.
Yeah. Just massive. And I just love that it's something so unintimidating and cuddly. And then it's just like, and just fully is like, "Do not touch this tiny child. I will hurt you." It's fantastic.
It might feel out of place to just have this random mouse be this giant bear creature. But in this series, perfect. Mwah. No. Chef's kiss. Love it.
100%. No questions. And of course, who is he defending his little boy from? Damarama, who has showed up to slay Mink, and he does so by pulling a sword literally out of his head, which
a
doesn't
laser
make
sword.
Sense. It's like, yes. I was like, can it not come from somewhere else? I just feel like storing a laser that close to your brain isn't smart. But as we find out, because Mink defeats him by his sword falling into his own head.
The only note I have for that section is in all caps, "head sword."
But yeah, it's funny because like we're like, "Oh, he's dead." But later on, he's like, "No, my brain is just concentrated and or more compressed than normal." And I was like, dude, did you just say your brain is small?
Oh, later on is episode 2. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this whole battle is adorable because like it's a serious battle, but it's like still, again, cutting between regular and chibi art, and like she's all happy and like kind of bouncing around and like doing her thing.
It was a feast for your eyes. And we finish off part one with Dick Sausage offering his services to the king to slay the dragon. Bah, bah, bah.
I want to mention this show is really good with one trope they do across the two episodes specifically related to this bird creature, because when he kills himself, Mink's being held by his giant bird Roshi, and after he dies, she looks up at the bird and is like, what are you gonna do with you? And the next scene is them just eating. And it's like roasting on a spit. Perfect comedic transition.
Oh, just, and it's so effective, that like graphic cut of just like, there's so much storytelling. We start act two with Mink and her friends playing at a pond, and they're like chilling, splish splashing, having fun. And then they hear singing about a red dragon from the woods. And who could it be? Oh my gosh, it's Dick Saucer. And all of them immediately fangirl.
Oh yeah, but I also love that the swimsuits are less revealing than their normal outfits.
I know.
Like, they could have gotten really weird with it and been like, you know, the skimpiest of skimp, ha ha ha. But they're like, no, they're just regular swimsuits. They kept it pretty clean. And I was like, I like that direction.
Yep, 100%. Oh, yeah, man.
Instant breakdown into babbling fangirls.
Absolutely. They're all like, oh my gosh.
No idea that he's trying to kill them.
Oh yeah. Like, he even goes like, I'm only here for Mink. Which,
and her friend's like, oh, I'm so jealous.
I know, right? I was like, if I was here for my favorite idol, I'd be like, I'm only here for you. I'd be like, oh my god,
yeah,
what?
You'd also ignore all the other words they're saying about how they're here to destroy you. Or you'd hear, I'm here to destroy you, and you'd be like, yeah, you are.
I'd be like, I'm ready. This Dragoosey.
Come destroy this Dragoosey.
So conflict ensues. And he's about to deliver, like, they're like fighting and blah, and he's about to deliver like a killing blow to Mink when his belt lights up to be like, you're late for a concert. So he's like, next time, and leaves.
he takes being an idol more seriously than his duty to the king.
Yep, 100%.
Which, like,
he probably makes more money being an idol.
Absolutely. There's not a lot of money in dragon slaying, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's, I mean, dragons have like, they're giant things of coins and shit and gold.
Oh, they're hordes?
That's it.
Yeah, but I think he craves payment more in, like, adoration and love.
Yeah. Girls screaming at him.
Exactly.
Ha!
Yes, that's how you scream for boys. Ha!
Yep. Ha!
If any of you ever meet Lindsay and she goes, ha, at you, it's a good thing, not a bad thing. Don't run away.
Yeah, don't
actually, maybe still run away.
Hey, how dare you? Well, actually, no, don't run away. I don't want to do cardio. But after this battle, it's so heartbreaking because Mink is talking about how her wings and her horns messed everything up.
I feel so bad for Mink.
I know.
She feels she needs a change for this dumb boy, and there's nothing wrong with her.
No.
She's perfect. She's just perfect the way she is.
This has become like an after school special.
Yeah, no, you legitimately feel bad for her.
Yeah. Oh, I love her so much. So we enter into our third act of the two parts, and we're with Rosario and the king, and Rosario is pitching his idea of, well, none of our plans have worked so far. What if we got Mink to enter the Brutal Killer martial arts tournament? Which, what?
Get her killed without having to put in the effort. Let other fighters do it for us for technically free, because the championship already exists anyways.
Easy way out. Just do it gladiator style. We cut to an airport, which I guess there's planes in this world.
Yeah, this is a world where it's very heavily high fantasy, but they also have TV, CD players, and airplanes.
Yep. So.
But everything else looks very basic. Yeah, they're trying to catch a plane to get. They realize they can't walk to the other side of the country in 10 days.
Damn it. So they're going to buy tickets, but the tickets are so expensive. And they're like, how the hell are we going to do this? And Mink's friend tries to like pimp her out to the ticket seller for a night for the money. What a good friend. But then it's revealed that the ticket seller is actually Rosario in disguise, because the ticket seller is like under the table.
Yeah, tickets are not normally $50,000 for one plane ride.
No.
But teenagers don't know that.
No. And this is great because it gives him a chance to be like, oh, well, you can win 50,000 Gibo, I think it was, or whatever. If you enter this killer martial arts tournament, like, just a suggestion, maybe you should do that. I just love how like stupid and simple they are. But because it's this show, it works so well.
It's so effective.
It's incredible. But yeah, so Mink goes to sign up for the tournament, and she has to like pass a preliminary test to qualify, and she has to fight the Minotaurus, the guardian of the tournament. She does it in one punch. So they're like, yeah, just this way. You're in. Rosario and the king are talking about another way to sabotage Mink in this tournament. And Rosario pulls out a bottle of X-Lax.
Because of course it's fucking X-Lax.
Of course, exactly. Oh my gosh. So he's going to try and slip her so that she gets the shits. So we're down at like where all the competitors are, and Mink sees Dick and asks him for an autograph, but he like huffs and walks away because he's a dick and Mink doesn't need that. Rosario comes down disguised again as a woman. He's in drag, is like, oh, lovely lady, would you like this stamina potion to help you during the fight? And this was one of my favorite parts, was her friend being like, no, it's probably X-Lax or something. And there's such like this massive face crack of like, shit.
How did she know?
Oh, no. They saw through my plot. So, but Mink is like, oh, you know, I'll get it.
Yeah. Does not pay attention to her friend whatsoever.
Nope. Gives it. And you're like, no, don't take it, Mink. And she goes and gives it to Dick as a peace offering to help him fight well in the tournament.
And he's like, man, fuck you, but it's not a bad idea. Sure, I'll take it.
I would love a drink. I love this show. I love it. But yeah, so when Dick walks away, Vina comes in and she starts chirping at Mink and
in new armor.
Yeah, she looks great, but like she's being a bitch and casts a spell to cover her friends in clothespins.
Yeah, it was a weird spell.
I was like, well, that's a very specific thing.
They're all being pinched.
Mink is like, I'm not having any of that. And somehow produces a giant one to just attack Vina with.
Smack her in the fucking face.
And Vina's all grumpy and she's like, I'll finish you in the ring. And walks away. And you're like, oh my gosh, this
ring, and you haven't seen this yet, but for listeners at home, it is basically the World Martial Arts Tournament from Dragon Ball. Same ring style, same stands style. Same everything. We get our own little fantasy world martial arts tournament.
And there's lava.
That is new from Dragon Ball. There's not lava surrounding theirs. But if you've seen Dragon Ball, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's great. I love it so much.
Well, first up in the tournament is Dick Saucer. And he enters the ring and his stomach immediately starts rumbling. And he's trying to like concentrate on not shitting himself.
He's like singing to himself, like, dear Brown, please go away.
Like, it's excellent. And while he's doing it, his opponent just walks up and like puts the king's seal on his head, winning the
which
the
is
round.
A way you can win. Yeah.
Yeah. It's killing them or putting the king's seal on their head. Which, like, what options?
And bro's like, fuck, runs off to the shitter.
Oh my gosh. And again, like, super effective. We don't have a lot of time. We got to get through this tournament. You know, yeah. There we go. First round done.
That's in like the course of like 18 seconds.
It's fantastic. It's so good. The next round is Mink, and she learns she's against Demaramu, who has survived.
Because his brain is so small.
Yeah, it's because he's got a small brain.
They literally get like an x-ray of his head, and it's like normal human brain where the sword would have gone. My brain, the size of an apple, where it missed my brain.
It just skimmed it, so I'm fine.
And he's so proud of the fact that he has a smaller, more compact brain.
Yeah, which I was like, that's not something you should brag about.
It's not, no.
And in the stands, we have Rosario telling the king that he's got another idea on how to, you know, deal with Mink and get her out. And he says, I'm going to release this poisonous bug that I have trained to only sting Mink. And as soon as he releases it, it stings him.
I'm laughing like an idiot right now. That's just because I loved it so fucking much. I didn't connect that was going to happen when you're watching it. And I forgot about this moment because it's been so long since I've watched this series. And as soon as it stung him first, I just cackled.
Oh, it's so good. Like big belly laugh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love it. And the best part is like from here we go down to the ring and Demaramu is just walking through his new armor and all the fabulous updates he has, such as firing cooked turkeys out of his chest. and his finger is like an actual water gun now. It's just
don't forget about his machine gun hand
and his really long toed boots metal shoes so that he can kick. Oh my gosh, it's all ridiculous. And while this is happening, the poisonous fly actually does work and stings Mink, and she's just like, ugh. Damaramu starts stomping on Mink, and it's not looking good. And then he goes to fire his winning blow, and he realizes he's used up all of his rounds and his battery, showing off.
And his final move that he can do comes out of his crotch.
Oh, yep.
And it's a dick bomb.
Just like pelvic thrusts it. You're like, oh my gosh. Well, and then also he calls upon like his mech bird to come over.
Which again, another
gets hit by the dick rocket.
Well, it's a perfect fucking transition again regarding this bird, because he's like, my mecha Roshi. And it comes bombarding from the skies, looking all big and menacing. And then it lands at her, and it's the size of a toy.
It's so cute. And then, yeah, she like uses her feminine wiles to, I guess, seduce this bird.
little ass shake. She's like, hey, yeah. Roshi.
Yeah. And as the bird gets hit by the dick rocket and just explodes. Yeah.
I would shake this thick booty all day long if it got me I needed to go.
Clap them cheeks.
It's such a silly fight, but she wins somehow.
She does, because he falls into the lava from the explosion, so he's out.
Right, that's what it was.
So the next round is Vina, and it's she just wins in one hit.
Oh yeah,
so
she's a black sorceress.
Yeah, exactly.
She got them powers.
Yep. So she starts like gloating about it to Mink, and then she looks over, and Mink and her friends are just playing cards, not even listening and paying attention.
They don't give a shit. They're just there to have a good time.
I love it. So we go into one of the final battles that Mink has.
Yep.
And it's with what is this kid's name? Doug Finn. Oh my gosh. And this one, you may have to like clear up some things, because I'm like, I think I got it, but I also don't think I got it, because he's basically complaining that Mink said something. He dissed like his ruler or something, right?
He has to kill her because he dissed this like evil demon god, which in the manga, by the way, is a huge plot point.
Oh, wow.
Is this demon god. Huge plot point. In the show, obviously, we don't see anything other than him referencing this. But he is a demon, basically, and he is there to defend his demon lord because she made fun of him.
And she's like, no, I didn't. And he's like, yeah, you did in part one. And so he pulls out a tape and like sits down with a TV and like a snack and a drink and is rewatching part one to find the proof. And he just goes, they cut all my scenes. And it was incredible. So good. And again, a good way of like getting this backstory to us in a creative way that doesn't take a lot of time and is funny as fuck. Like,
so fucking funny. Minute of fourth wall breaking entertainment with this hilarious little character being like, oh shit, she didn't say it. Well, it doesn't matter. I'm going to kill you anyways.
Yeah, he says, to hell with story continuity. Yeah, my note was, this plot device is incredible.
This show gets away with stuff that I would normally hate in other series so cleanly that I don't even think about it being a bad thing. I'm like, that was amazing. He pulls out VH1 tape one or VHS tape one.
Yeah.
Genius.
Gets a, like, I love that he like has a snack and a drink as well.
A little CRT TV plugged in off stage.
Oh my gosh, I love it so much. But yeah, he's like, nope, I don't care. I'm still gonna fight you though. And so he also pulls a sword from his head and goes on the offense. And what does he do? Cuts her top off.
Yeah. She still stays covered.
I didn't like groan when this happened. Again, like, there's so much campiness that it didn't feel just overtly sexualized.
You got to expect this is going to happen at some point. This anime came out like 5 years after Ursa Yatsura, which had a very popular moment where the girls, you know, where Lum's top gets ripped off, basically. So it's kind of like a callback to that.
Yep, exactly. Well, and the thing is, I love that her motivation after getting this her top cut off is like, no, Dick was all going to be the first one to see me topless. How dare you? And so she flies into a rage and attacks him, punching him straight in the face and defeating him, which is incredible. And, you know, how is she going to celebrate this win and finish off this series then jumping into the air, excited, titties out, and.
Even that was still hilariously done.
Oh my gosh.
It and wasn't it, yeah. done in a weird way. It was done in just like the funniest fucking possible way they could have done it.
It was excellent. Ugh. So yeah, everybody go see this. Go see this show. It's fantastic. It's on YouTube. It's great.
A cute little ending to like what was supposed to be a four episode series. They got cut down to two because there wasn't enough, you know, love for it, which is really unfortunate because if they had followed the manga closer, I feel like this series would have done so much better. It's a little more racy, that's for sure. But it's still like the show is so fucking funny that even people who made comments being like, it has no story, they still marked it as recommended because it's just such a fun watch.
Oh, absolutely. You do not regret the hour you spend watching this show.
No, there is zero regret to this. It is probably one of my favorite things we've watched just because of how goofy it is. So
I would agree with you.
It was your first time watching it. Did you get to the end of those two episodes and were a little sad there wasn't more?
Absolutely. I wish there was more. This definitely deserved to have more. Except I also wonder, like, if they had more, would it be too much? I don't know. Because sometimes if something is so perfect when it's really short, like fleshing things out sometimes is a detriment. I don't know. Maybe I'm just like talking stupidly, but
I think it would have been perfect at like 4 to 5 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it wouldn't have burnt itself out on like the gags and the humor, and it would have still been able to get through a little bit more of the story. Because they're like, oh, it's the potion. And then we never even got close to that. It literally gets hard cut.
Oh my gosh, dick on the toilet, just like cursing.
Oh yeah, at the end of it, after she wins, it's just him still on the shitter. Like after like 2 hours of ongoing tournaments, he's still on the shitter.
Yeah, man, he is a raisin.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, this was a fun watch for you.
I absolutely loved it.
Hell yeah. I figured you could do with something fun and adorable right now.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Something super cute. What would you rate it at 10?
I mean, I'd probably give it like it's definitely like in the 9-10 category for me. Probably 9. Yeah, it's excellent. I was thoroughly entertained.
Now, the internet doesn't quite agree with you 8. On its 1, final 4? Scoring.
I don't know.
The MAL score, if you could guess, what do you think it is?
8.14.
No.
What did they rate this at?
Has rated this at a 6.85.
What? The internet's on crack.
I agree. And again, the people marking it lower are the people who are complaining that don't find it funny.
Ugh, those people are just like butthurt.
They're like, this is the dumbest. Like one person was literally like, this is the dumbest thing you could have ever possibly watched times
You're
by
the
two.
Dumbest thing we could ever watch.
I want to end with some quick dragon puns here because people enjoyed our punnage in the Agent Ica episode.
All right, I'm ready for it.
Why did the dragon wake up screaming?
Because it heard your puns?
No, he had a nightmare.
Oh my gosh. Head shake.
Why did the dragon lose his poker game?
I don't know.
Someone called his puff.
No.
Why did the dragon go to a therapist?
Because he was acting fiery.
Close. He had a burning issue they need to discuss.
Oh, therapy's great.
Yeah, did you hear why the dragon music teacher won an award?
No, why?
She really knew her scales.
Oh my gosh, leave. Well, great.
That's enough of that shit.
Yep, and scene.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us on an incredibly adorable adventure this week. If you have not seen the show and you've just been listening to us talk about it, please go out and watch it. You will laugh the whole way through. And if you did, you know, comment on the episode on Spotify or, you know, hit us at Twitter, letting us know what you thought, because we want to know if we're, you know, not alone in the world of thinking that this was just the absolute gem of a silly little series. So hit us up at Animates literally everywhere. Let us know what else you'd like us to watch. We kind of take turns here, but I'm always up for some suggestions of things that I might have forgotten in my childhood or Lindsay forgot in hers that we go, oh, good idea. Specifically, someone in the Anime Out of Context Discord server. This was the one that sparked my memory of Agent Ica. So thanks for that, because that was a pretty good episode.
I was like, who was it? Give me their address. I want to. I have to talk to them.
I will keep their identity a secret so as to protect them from your wrath. Look, I haven't given you anything etchy since then, okay? I know it's only been a few episodes, but...
And I was like, oh yeah, because April Fool's isn't coming up soon.
You don't need to worry about April Fool's.
I'm worrying.
All right, well, we will catch you next week with Lindsay hosting, so make sure to check us out next Tuesday. Same dragon place, same dragon channel. Now, yeah. Quit dragging your feet and go listen to something else you enjoy. That was terrible.
I was going to make the same joke.
Oh. Fuck it. That's what we're ending on. Bye.
I love it.